Hello and welcome to your GCSE Business Studies Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you're here because today we're tackling one of the most important topics on the specification, business ownership. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdXL, OCR, or any other board, I can promise you this topic will come up in your exam and it is absolutely one you can master. By the end of this episode, you'll be able to confidently explain the five main types of business ownership, nail the difference between limited and unlimited liability, and crucially, you'll know exactly how to answer those tricky evaluation questions where the examiner asks you to recommend the most suitable structure for a given business. That's where the marks really are. So grab your pen, maybe a cup of tea, and let's get into it. Let's start right at the beginning. When someone sets up a business, one of the very first decisions they have to make is, what legal structure should this business have to make is, what legal structure should this business have? And that choice matters enormously. It affects how much money they can raise, who controls the business, how profits are shared, and this is the big one, how much personal risk they're taking on. There are five main structures you need to know for GCSE. I want you to think of them as a spectrum, from the simplest and smallest, all the way up to the largest and most complex. First up, the sole trader. This is the most common type of business in the UK. A sole trader is simply one person who owns and runs the business. Think of your local hairdresser, a freelance graphic designer, or a plumber working for themselves. Setting up as a sole trader is incredibly easy. There's very little paperwork, you keep all the profits, and you have complete control over every decision. Sounds great, right? But here's the catch, and this is a massive exam point. Sole traders have unlimited liability. That means if the business gets into debt, the owner is personally responsible for every single penny. The bank can come after your house, your car, your savings, everything. This is the single biggest disadvantage of being a sole trader, and examiners absolutely love testing it. Next, partnerships. A partnership is where two or more people, typically between 2 and 20, own and run a business together. Think of a law firm, a GP surgery, or an accountancy practice. The big advantage over a sole trader is that partners can pool their skills and capital. If one partner is brilliant at sales and another is great at finance, that combination can be really powerful. Partners also share the workload and the risk. However, and here's the key exam point, most partnerships also have unlimited liability. Each partner is jointly and severally liable, which means if one partner runs up a huge debt and disappears, the remaining partners are responsible for all of it. There is a special type called a limited liability partnership, or LLP. But for GCSE, you mainly need to know that standard partnerships carry unlimited liability. Now we move into incorporated businesses. And this is where the concept of limited liability comes in. Incorporation means the business becomes a separate legal entity from its owners. It's like the business gets its own identity in the eyes of the law. And that separation is what creates limited liability. The third structure is the private limited company, or LTDID. In a private limited company, the business is owned by shareholders, people who have bought shares in the company. The key word is private. Shares can only be sold privately with the agreement of existing shareholders. You can't just buy shares in a private limited company on the stock market. The owners have limited liability, which means if the business fails, they can only lose the money they invested in shares. Their personal assets, their house, their savings are protected. Control sits with the board of directors, who are often also the main shareholders. A great example is a family business that has grown and incorporated to protect the family's personal wealth. Fourth, the public limited company, or PLC. This is the big one. A PLC can sell shares to the general public on the stock exchange, like the London Stock Exchange. This means they can raise enormous amounts of capital. Think of companies like Tesco, BP, or Marks & Spencer, all PLCs. Shareholders have limited liability. However, with all that public investment comes scrutiny. PLCs must publish their financial accounts, hold annual general meetings, and are accountable to potentially thousands of shareholders. There's also a real risk of a hostile takeover, where another company or investor buys enough shares to take control. And the minimum share capital to set up a PLC is £50,000. Finally, not-for-profit organizations. These include charities, social enterprises, and community interest companies. The crucial difference here is the primary objective. Profit-seeking businesses aim to maximize profit for their owners. Not-for-profit organizations exist to fulfill a social, charitable, or community mission. Any surplus they generate is reinvested back into that mission, not distributed to shareholders. Think of organizations like Oxfam, the National Trust, or a local community sports club. They still need to manage their finances carefully and generate income, but profit is a means to an end, not the end itself. Now, the concept that ties all of this together, and I cannot stress this enough, is limited versus unlimited liability. This is the single most tested concept in this topic. Unlimited liability means the owner's personal assets are at risk if the business fails. Limited liability means the owner can only lose what they invested. The legal process that creates limited liability is called incorporation. Remember, sole traders and standard partnerships, unlimited. Limited PLC and most not-for-profits, limited. Right, let's talk about how to actually score marks in the exam, because knowing the content is only half the battle. Tip number one, always link liability to personal assets. Don't just write, sole traders have unlimited liability. Right. Sole traders have unlimited liability, which means that if the business fails, the owner's personal assets, such as their home and savings, could be seized to pay off business debts. That second sentence is what earns you the mark. Tip number two, when the question asks you to recommend a structure for a specific business, you must justify your answer in context. The examiner wants to see that you can apply your knowledge. So if the question describes a small startup with limited capital, don't just say they should become a sole trader. Say, given that this is a new business with limited funds, a sole trader structure would be appropriate because it requires minimal setup costs and allows the owner to retain full control and all profits. However, the owner should be aware that unlimited liability means their personal assets are at risk. Tip number three, don't confuse limited and PLC. The key difference is how shares are sold. Private, limited companies sell shares privately. You can't buy them on the stock exchange. Public limited companies list on the stock exchange and sell shares to the public. Mixing these up is one of the most common mistakes examiners see. Tip number four, remember that not-for-profit organizations are not the same as loss-making businesses. They can and do generate surpluses. They just reinvest them rather than distributing them as profit. And tip number five, for any question worth 6 marks or more, make sure you're giving a balanced answer. Discuss advantages and disadvantages, or compare two structures before reaching a clear conclusion. That's how you access the higher mark levels. Okay, let's test your knowledge with a quick fire quiz. I'll ask a question, pause, then give you the answer. Ready? Question one, what is the term for the legal process that creates a separate legal entity for a business? Incorporation. Question two, which two business structures typically have unlimited liability? Sole traders and standard partnerships. Question three, what is the minimum share capital required to set up a PLC? £50,000. Question four, what is the primary difference between a private limited company and a public limited company? A PLC can sell shares to the public on the stock exchange. A private limited company cannot. Question five, what happens to surplus income in a not-for-profit organization? It is reinvested back into the organization's mission. It is not distributed to owners or shareholders. Brilliant work. Let's do a quick recap. There are five main business ownership structures: sole trader, partnership, private limited company, public limited company, and not-for-profit. The most important concept is limited versus unlimited liability. And the process of incorporation is what creates that legal separation between the business and its owners. When answering exam questions, always apply your knowledge to the specific context given, justify your recommendations, and for higher mark questions, always reach a clear, supported conclusion. You've got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, every mark you earn in this topic is a mark you've genuinely understood. Good luck, and I'll see you in the next episode.